Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gents? How you doing this morning?
Not a whole lot. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So Charles, Roger Goodell has been in our fine city this week, and he was asked about the possibility of the Tennessee Titans and the city of Nashville hosting a Super Bowl with a new stadium coming in 2027. Said Nashville will be a great spot to have a Super Bowl. I'm sure that it will happen at least once. First off, what do you make of the idea of a Super Bowl in Nashville? And number two, do you think there's a chance that Nashville, given how tourism kind of goes here and the ability to put on big events, could it ever be involved in a Super Bowl rotation in your mind?
Well, after the draft, I think that was definitely the moment where it was like, okay, absolutely the NFL could do a tentpole event here. And, you know, the draft is sort of the junior tentpole event next to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the only other event where it's, you know, a multitude of days. You know, obviously the Super Bowl, they try to stretch it over a week. But realistically, the Super Bowl is sort of a Friday to Sunday, Thursday to Sunday kind of event, which is similar to what the draft is. And I mean, I was there for that draft. It was amazing. You know, fans were unbelievable. The food's great. I mean, everything about entertainment, it has the entire mixture, really, other than transit, that the NFL likes to have in terms of bringing a big event to the city. I would say that is one of the things they talk about a lot when they begin preparations to put the Super Bowl in a new city is public transportation. How can people get around? We have to have some ease. How can we coordinate where, you know, the teams will be staying, where all the events going to be? But I think the stage, for lack of a, you know, not to put a pun out there, but is set for Nashville. You're going to get a Super Bowl. It's going to happen 100% as long as the stadium lands. That will be the reward. But as you said, the big question is, does it become a rotational city? I don't know. I mean, I will say this. They are looking for, I think they would like Las Vegas to be in the rotation, Los Angeles to be in the rotation. Jerry is pushing for Dallas to be a regular part of the rotation. Yeah, boo. Miami. But I do think they are looking for, they've never been able to replace San Diego. Well, like once the Chargers moved out of San Diego, that was such a huge, you know, piece of the future moving forward for the NFL. They thought there was going to be a new stadium there, and they were like, that's going to be one of the staple cities, you know, for decades moving on. And then obviously it completely fell out of the rotation. So they are looking for another city. And I would say they want a happy medium between kind of like a Las Vegas, where it's all 100% entertainment driven. It's all very concentrated in one area, versus LA, which is more sprawling. And that happy medium in the minds of the NFL is New Orleans, right? Like New Orleans is that it's got the ability to sprawl a little bit. It is very concentrated though, in terms of where they like to put the events when they have the Super Bowl there. But I think they would sort of like another city in the rotation like that. I think that's what Nashville could be. But really in terms of that happening, A, you have to pull off the first one really, really well. B, I think there has to be a good relationship between ownership of the Titans and the NFL to constantly make sure, hey, your stadium, this new stadium is always going to be up to date. The renovations are going to be where they need to be. That was part of the problem with San Diego, where it was just like, you know, they wanted it to be a decade staple, but they always knew like the stadium's falling apart. That's got to get resolved. And that's part of how, you know, it fell out of the rotation was the fact that ownership just, you know, and the city couldn't get on the same page. So not only city leaders, but Titans ownership will factor heavily into that. And frankly, even the fans, because you have to be supportive of you know, occasional measures that are going to come down the pipeline to make sure that a stadium is renovated on the cutting edge and remains there to keep drawing back a Super Bowl rotation.
Well, speaking of Goodell, he's always asked about a variety of topics. He had a few words to say about that little weirdo kicker in Kansas City, but also speaking of weirdos, Aaron Rodgers also, I guess, confirmed.
Yeah.
How about the Harrison Butker Aaron Rodgers show in the NFL, Charles?
Well, the Chiefs kicker, it was funny because I was talking to one of our editors last night, and I was like, man, this just shows like what a kind of oddly quiet offseason it's been when Butker becomes this huge firestar. It's like, you know, John Stewart does like 15 minutes of you know, his show on it. And, you know, it's all over Fox. It's all over the typical political, like, entrenched networks and all this stuff. And I'm like, and it's the Chiefs kicker, of course. And it becomes the question where not only are the Chiefs getting asked about it, I don't know if you saw, like, Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel.
Oh, that was awesome. His reaction
was not excited.
I was like, ah!
Yeah. I just love how he hunched over and he grabbed the microphone in front of him.
Really appreciate like, you so asking.
Glad. Yeah, I was so glad you asked me that question. Like, but I actually thought McDaniel, it was interesting. You know, he was just sort of the mind like, hey, if you're going to say it out loud, you better believe it, because nowadays, the way things work, you're going to get called on, you know, what your remarks. And I don't, you know, look, it's a reminder to me that this is a league with, you know, when you add in practice squad players, you're talking about like 2,200 players at any given time in the league. And they're capable of saying anything, thinking anything. I thought Mahomes actually answered the question pretty well yesterday when he was just like, look, a lot of different guys in the locker room. There are things you're going to agree with, things you're not going to agree with. Just got to judge them based on what is happening here in front of us and the relationship I've built over years with the person. And if anything, to me, just we're talking about Butker here, this is a window into what's coming, because this, you know, rotation, this election cycle rotation is going to be like this. I have no doubt. And I think that was the first thing that crossed my mind, was I was like, okay, this is the first time we've seen a player wander into whatever his personal thoughts are, his whether it's religion, whether it's thoughts on society, like, this is what we're heading into. We're going to go back to this. And the trenches are going to be dug. Players are going to come out with their own political thoughts and feelings. And a lot of that's going to be, you know, steeped in, you know, social mores and values and all these different things that we like to discuss during the political cycle. And I think we're fooling ourselves if we think this is the first and the only thing that like I said, all these networks that are driven by this kind of stuff are going to get into. The NFL is going to get drawn into it again by players, most likely, or coaches. And I think, you know, through January, February, March, we can just, you know, plan on that being part of the discourse, unfortunately. And I'm not looking forward to it. I feel like I still have fatigue from the last two.
Yeah. Yay. I hadn't even thought about that, but you're totally right, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun fall.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Good times.
Really looking forward to that. So, Charles, Brian Callahan on a kind of a couple different places here on the Athletic Football Podcast, on Bussin' with the Boys with LaJuan and Will Compton, has gone out of his way to, at least in our opinion, to be pretty effusive with his praise to Will Levis. Like, do you view that as just like a typical coach saying the right things about a quarterback, or do you think that could mean that Brian Callahan is really happy with what he's seen from Will Levis kind of behind the scenes here heading into the season?
Did we lose?
Have we lost Charles?
I wondered if he kind of like cut.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Hey! I bumped the mute button with chin, my big fat chin. stupid iPhone. I don't expect any head coach to come in and not be, you know, very, I won't want to say over the top, but look, he's going to be effusive in praise of the quarterback because that was part of the deal coming in. He had to know, this is who I'm getting on board with. I will say, and I brought this up, I think, previously when we talked about this, when McVay went in, he was so over the top with Jared Goff, right? And I remember the first time I went into L.A. following McVay's hiring, and, you know, I was talking to general manager Les Snead. He's like, yeah, you know, part of the process of how we ended up landing on Sean, hiring Sean was, you know, this he set up this basically slideshow of all of, you know, Jared's throws in the courtyard by Marriott, and they spent this time together. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is really going to sell this so hard. And I kind of questioned, like you do, like, hey, is this just the coach being over the top, or does he really believe this? Well, it turned out Sean did believe it. You know, he was right in his assessment of, you know, so much more being there for Jared Goff, so much untapped potential, which I think is definitely what I feel like we're getting from Callahan is all the positives that Will Levis brought to the table. And that's really what he's accentuating right now. But I will say for everyone, this is the fun part of the season. Like, it's everybody's, hey, so-and-so is 7-for-11. You know, yeah, it's OTAs. Like, nothing is, they should be, really should have been 11-for-11. I mean, like, this is the part of the season where it should all pretty much be positives. You know, guys are running around, people should be pretty healthy, building chemistry in the locker room. So he's got all the good stuff to talk about. To me, what's going to be more interesting is when you get to an inflection point of where he's got to be critical and what that criticism sounds like. That's going to be a ways off. You know, we're not going to really see that until probably training camp. Maybe with the way training camps go nowadays, maybe not even until the beginning of the regular season. But we've talked about Levis before. You guys have me out here. I don't know how you did it, but you have me out here arguing with, like, everybody about Will Levis at every turn. I got into another argument after
fight
last
the good
week,
fight, so, Charles.
Well, somebody and I'm like, I literally thought of you guys because somebody was doing kind of their quarterback rankings or whatever, and they got to Bryce Young and they put him over Will Levis, and then they started banging on Will Levis while they were talking about Bryce Young, and I got so upset. I started arguing with them about it, and I thought of you guys. I'm like, I don't know how they Manchurian candidated in my head, but I'm like out here. Like,
you're welcome.
Banging the drum for Will Levis at every turn. Look, it's great. I think everybody, Treylon Burks, you hear all the positivity about Treylon Burks. This is the season for everybody to be super positive. What's going to matter with Callahan is more how he's able to take the negative moments with Will Levis and then build upon that, because really that's where Will Levis is going to get a lot better. It's not just going, you know, hey, the comeback last season against Miami that nobody talks about with him. You know, he's definitely had his high point moments, but it's going to be all the negatives that ultimately turn him in the right direction, which is really how the first iteration of Jared Goff happened under Sean McVay, which was pretty dang good. And, you know, so that's where Callahan's really going to earn his money is the bad moments, not just this idea that he's out there saying, like, he's expecting the world of Will Levis right now.
So back to Robbie's favorite player of all time, Aaron Rodgers. So Mike Florio made a good point. Is that true? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah,
is that accurate?
Actually, that's funny because he did. Because when Rodgers had his initial, you know, press conference with the Jets, he admitted that the Robert Kennedy, he admitted this whole idea of this vice presidential run was real. And Florio was like, this is like being way underplayed, like, because of what that would have meant. He just admitted there was this real idea of him being a vice presidential candidate, which means he would have left the Jets, which I think Florio's right. And it was a really good point. And I'm like, yeah, you know, no one really even latched onto that. Like, and there was no follow-up of, like, you say that's real. Does that mean you would have left the Jets to go and do this if it had materialized? Which, unfortunately, I mean, that should have been the follow-up question. Because to me, if I'm the Jets brass and he goes out there and says this stuff's real, I'd be pretty upset. Because in the next breath, you're talking about, hey, you know, we're probably all out of here. Like, it's over for all of us if this doesn't work this year. You're also on the other, you know, side of your mouth talking about the fact that you considered something that would have taken you away from the team. There's no way you could have done that and still been the Jets quarterback. So sometimes he says stuff that just, it's crazy. It's almost like he says so much stuff now that it's just like it all blends together, so none of it really matters anymore. You just gotten used to the white noise of it. But Florio did make a really good point that that's way underplayed, the fact that he basically admitted, yeah, I would have done this thing that would have made me leave the Jets and all of this would have been for nothing.
Charles, what do you think the Jordan Love contract is going to look like for the Green Bay Packers? And do you think it's going to be one of those ones where, I mean, he's been a starter for 1 year, that when the number comes out, people are going to look at it and say, oh my God, how much money did they just give Jordan Love?
Well, I can tell you this, the way his agents are approaching it is Aaron Rodgers went out the door making $50 million APY. Let's start there. You know, so the idea of Jordan Love not being a $50 million a year player, that's a non-starter for his agents. I think it's the same with Tua. I think all these, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence, I think all these quarterback contracts that haven't happened yet, I hear people mentioning sub 50 APY numbers, and I'm like, that's just not reality. Like, that's not, it's going to, if this is where teams are coming at it, unless the player steps in and goes, hey, look, I'm okay with this, as long as we can keep it at a 4 year deal, you know, I'm fine with it not being, you know, a 50 plus APY. But agents representing quarterbacks that are, you know, inside the top 15, maybe fringe top 12 guys, if they can make that argument, they're all trying to get over that $50 million a year benchmark, and Jordan Love is no different. What I think is really interesting right now is I think you can argue most of the quarterbacks left on the table who have yet to do deals, not named Dak Prescott, are all in that like zone where, I remember when Baker Mayfield, they had to do that extension for Baker Mayfield after he beat Pittsburgh, and, you know, and the Browns sat there and they looked at it and they're like, we feel like we need more here. We need another year of data on this guy. And if we get the extra year of data and it's through the roof, cool, we'll pay him a ton of money and we'll be happy with it, because we'll know this is locked in the right track. It's not the roller coaster. It's nothing but going up. Okay, well, guess what, Tua? There's a roller coaster element of this right now. There's still the concussion stuff. He had great moments last season. He also had a lull. Trevor Lawrence, his career has been a roller coaster for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been up, he's been down. Granted, he was injured last year, but that sounds a lot like when, you know, Baker Mayfield was coming off of the win, you know, with Pittsburgh. I mean, Baker even had more momentum than I think any of these guys did, and the Browns waited to do that deal, and it ultimately went south. And Jordan Love, the thing about Jordan Love, like, yeah, he had an unbelievably fantastic run last year. You know, his second half of the season was absolutely superb. Okay, is that enough to say, yeah, we're going to do a deal where it's going to be $200 million plus over 4 years, there's going to be $50 million APY, the guaranteed money is going to be 120, 140, you know, 170. I mean, that's another one of the big arguments, is how much of the money is going to be guaranteed in those 4 years and how far into the 4 years is going to be guaranteed. They're all in the same uncomfortable spot where I think there's some projection here involved. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if these quarterback deals all dragged into, you know, mid-July, butted up right against training camp, where we're still wondering if the deals are going to land. And I also wouldn't be surprised if there's one guy out of the mix where it does not get done, where they say, we'll just go through the next year. And if we have to franchise tag somebody or pay them more after 2024, we're willing to do that.
All right, real fast. You mentioned three guys that I think that they're all very interesting. I want to put you on the spot, Charles. Trevor Lawrence, Tua, Jordan Love. You have to go with one of them and give them the world to be your quarterback for the next, you know, 5 to 8 years. Which of those three are you choosing?
Trevor, easily.
That's a quick answer.
Because year one, I think, was ruined by Urban Meyer. It was an abject failure, disaster, coaching staff. Everything was wrong. Year two, they finally went in the direction that it was supposed to go, got with the right coach, built on the experience. Year three, it was injuries. And I think it was more than just the injuries we knew about. Okay. And I think on top of all of that, too, they're still trying to figure out building the offensive pieces around him. We talked about Calvin Ridley not being used correctly when he was there. So there's still, I think, other things around him that are affecting him. And so to me, when I go with the overall body work all the way back to college, you know, he's been a high level player for forever in football. I still think a lot of the failure has been a function of injuries and some of the surrounding things that are going on. Do I think he's going to ever reach the astronomical first ballot Hall of Fame player? I mean, that's a whole different conversation. But in terms of the most safe guy out of this group, who I still think has a pretty high floor and a decently high ceiling, I still think it's Trevor.
What about the Lamar Jackson front? Apparently he's losing some weight, Charles. So you got him going down, I guess, to 205. Now,
yeah, you tweeted out, Charles tweeted out the combo. Didn't you tweet out the two pictures?
Pretty wild. There's talk about him getting faster, which is scary to think about. I also think about, like, what happens if somebody, you know, actually hits him. What do you make of the Lamar Jackson weight loss part of this?
I think the part of the conversation he's not talking about, and he probably will as we move forward, I'm sure there will be more depth that comes out about this. I think he felt like he was taking bigger hits, that he was – part of the problem was he didn't feel as elusive or agile. He brought up the whole phrase of being more, you know, agile. I think he felt like with that added weight, he just was not moving the way that he had moved earlier in his career, and he was actually taking bigger hits. And – I think that Todd Monken's offense, what ended up happening was way more tempo driven. Probably won't admit this, but I think there were probably times during the season when maybe there was some fatigue factor, and some of that also had to do with carrying more weight, just being a bigger player now. And he was lighter last year than he was in 2022. I talked to somebody close to Jackson, and he was like, I said, give me the zone, like where he was. He was like, oh, between like 230, 240. I'm like, okay, that means like probably 240 plus at times when he bulked up. And so I think part of it is just trying to fit into what the new offense is. He's asked to do a lot more at the line of scrimmage. I think he feels like he's more elusive at that lighter weight. His first MVP was at that much lighter weight. Where he is now, it's probably not where he's going to settle in at. I would expect he probably gains a little bit more weight as he heads toward the season. But yeah, I mean, physically you could see the difference was pretty dramatic. And one thing I will point out, I wrote about this, all these other quarterbacks, like high-end quarterbacks did this, like Aaron Rodgers thinned out over the course of his career. He was a much thicker player, you know, earlier in his career. And as he got older and he started to adjust his diet and how he felt physically, he liked himself at a lighter weight. Tom Brady, same exact way. He added a lot of weight when he came into the NFL, and then he changed that weight pretty dramatically down the stretch. That all started in his prime. Drew Brees, same deal with Drew Brees. Even Ben Roethlisberger, who, when I would go into Steelers camp every year, he was fat. Like, every year it was like, oh, my God, Ben's so fat. Like, he's so fat. He showed up so fat and out of shape. And then toward the end of his career, I remember showing up, and I'm like, whoa, this dude's lost a lot of weight. Like, he's already coming into camp in shape. And Roethlisberger admitted, like, it's just how I feel. Like, I want to come in feeling like I'm in better shape. And so I think some of that is how – it's just a response to, like, how Lamar feels. And I think we talked about this in the past, too, with him. Like, when he came in the league, he was, like, a big candy guy. There was a lot of, like, concern internally with the Ravens about, like, where is he in terms of his diet and nutrition and – how focused is he on how, you know, he feels and what he's putting into his body? He's going into year 7. I think he's starting to figure out, really, this matters how I feel on the field, and I don't need to sit here and worry about, hey, do I need an extra 20 pounds so I can take hits and absorb them and not get hurt? He had those pounds, and guess what happened? He got hurt. He suffered some of the worst injuries of his career at a higher weight.
Interesting. Speaking of size, taking hits, and being fine with it, and Lamar Jackson, it's a little jarring for people here, Charles, to see Derrick Henry, you know, run out to the practice field in the purple jersey. Any sense, anything you've heard at this point, or any sense for just like how they might adjust or how they might accommodate him or how you think it might go with him there?
I think they're still figuring it out because, interestingly enough, I think he fit more in that kind of Greg Roman system, right? Whereas, like, again, Monken wants, at least last year, how they functioned. Lamar was the tip of the spear in terms of the running game, right? The more of the running attack was in his hands, and that's part of the reason why he was the leading rusher for them. Granted, you lose Dobbins, that changes the matrix of what you feel like you can accomplish. So I would guess in my mind, they probably want to balance out what they saw last season. from the perspective of, you know, Lamar being, for lack of a better term, kind of the bell cow or the person that was, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C when it came to engaging how the running game was going to work. But I also think part of this, too, is when they played the Chiefs, and, you know, turnovers had something to do with it. You know, Lamar turns the ball over a couple of times. Zay Flowers turns over the ball, like, it's, you know, terrible, but they couldn't score points. And I think they kind of felt like you lose 17-10 in the AFC title game, and there was just no element of breaking the Chiefs. There was no, like, toughness. There was no kind of, you know, wearing them down. They didn't have that tool in the bag to reach for. The Ravens didn't. And maybe that's what they want out of Henry. They want the ability, the flexibility that when they want to go to it and start to beat up a team in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, this is the running back who's ultimately going to help them do that. And they can become a little more of a physical team, because they were, like, with that tempo, they were definitely more of a finesse team, finesse offense than we had seen in the past. And they were fast and it was great. And they scored a ton of points. And then they ran into a Chiefs defense that was far more stout than they expected after beating up on some good defenses. And they just couldn't change the tempo of the game to push Kansas City around in the fourth quarter. And I do think that's a little bit of what they'll search for with Derrick Henry.
Well, Charles, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. And we'll talk to you
next
week. Before
we go. Yeah. Before we go, though, I want to ask you, I listened to the Inside the NBA. I'm totally bummed what's going on with TNT. That show, to me, is fantastic. It stinks. I thought that what you guys talked about, Ernie, especially when Joe said, like, he's like save Chuck, Charles Barkley. Like, Charles Barkley is – Shaq is, like, the worst thing for Charles Barkley when it comes to having somebody who's on set with you and gets you in trouble.
Yes.
And very curious to see how the future unfolds, where everybody ends up. It did make me wonder, though, did you ever see – like, what was your favorite broadcasting tandem in the NFL that split up, that just drove you nuts when it's, well, for me, it was Collinsworth and Michaels. Like, I thought, okay, like, they really on the Sunday night game had it going. It was so great for so long, and then they blew it. I'm curious, though, in your lifetimes, is there any, like, NFL crew or tandem where you're like, that really bothered me when they broke that team up?
Cosell, Dandy, Don, and Gifford.
I mean, mine was Michaels and Madden. Those two were together. I love
right.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I honestly Michaels barely remember that. I was kidding. Summerall Madden was that's the GOAT, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Summerall Madden was that's definitely from a childhood perspective. I could hear it in the background, and
that's
it evoked
Sunday.
Memories of childhood. Yeah. That Sunday. Yeah. And then, you know, like, obviously, Thanksgiving, you know, growing up in Michigan.
Ask me again in 5 years when they break up Brady and whoever.
Man, this Brady.
Brady will be like a year.
Like, seriously, you're Greg Olson. Like, you're like the second prettiest girl in the world. You're getting, like, brushed aside for Tom Brady, where it's like, you know, you're winning awards, you're great at your job, you say honest things on the air, which, you know, is refreshing as a broadcaster. And I still can't get over it. Like, this thing
Brady won't be as good as him. He won't be. He will not be as good as him.
He won't be. And it's crazy because, like, it's the hoops that are getting jumped through right now, because it's like, well, yeah, he can be a part owner of the Raiders. We got to figure that out. But we also have to curtail how much information he can get in production meetings on other teams, because it is definitely an inherent, you know, problem. You can't be an owner of one team gathering string on another team in private production meetings, which you then literally turn around and just hand over.
And here's Jerry Jones on the call, the Eagles Giants. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah.
Great idea. We'll have to get into this next week.
We will. Charles, great stuff, man. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, take care.
We'll react to what Charles had to say next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see James Taylor at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, June the 12th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call the 3. We'll win a pair of tickets to see James Taylor at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, June the 12th.
Check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland, a fun new concept by Chef Sean Brock, designed to spread joy through his love of cheeseburgers, shakes, buttermilk biscuits, fries, and fried chicken. Get half off a $30 Joyland gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us. What do you make of the money that it looks like Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Tua in Miami are about to make should those teams decide to go with those guys? I think all of them are probably going to end up with a contract around $50 million per year, which is a lot of money, but that's kind of the name of the game at that position in today's NFL. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, just the conversation of that does bring me to the cap. And you know, like the fact that these numbers sound huge, but it's not a big deal, man. Cap's going up. Cap is real.
It is.
But it is malleable, and it's the cost of doing business. And I think the Baker Mayfield example is a good. You will find examples both ways of paying a quarterback when you shouldn't have and not paying a quarterback when you should have. But I think I will say this too. I'm getting dangerously close to agreeing with some takes I don't want to agree with. But like I asked Charles that question, I'm not sure. I might go with your guy over Trevor Lawrence. I think Jordan Love might be special, but
be pretty
good. I might lean Trevor. It's very close, and Tua would be third for me. I mean, Tua's good, but Tua is not what I thought he'd be in the NFL. And there are questions. I don't give a crap. I mean, if he throws it better at noon than at 8 p.m., who gives a crap? But I mean, you have huge games all over your schedule at various times. But I would put him third of that group. Would I pay him? Would you pay him? So if you just Tua, would you pay Tua if you're the Dolphins and give him that money?
Well, the problem is, like, if you don't, what do you do?
Right.
Because, I mean,
go right back into the quarterback desert.
The thing is, like, right now, he's under contract right now. They're going to be good enough where you're not getting a high pick to go draft a quarterback. So, I mean, you could not pay him and then hope to suck for a couple years and find somebody that way. But are you doing that while you've got Jaylen Waddle on the roster and Tyreek Hill on the roster and all the money they've spent on defense? Like, I think you got to pay him. Like, I think he's a good player. Is he a great quarterback? No, I don't think so. Is he pretty good? Yeah, I think he is.
I think he's better than pretty good. But good, that's okay, so if it's good, do you pay a good quarterback that kind of money? I think you probably do, and you have to try to build a great team around a good quarterback. That is the more feasible way than we got to find Pat Mahomes. Maybe the Bears have found him, and that's good for them.
I honestly kind of feel the same way about Trevor Lawrence as I do Tua. Like, I think he's a good player. Is he worth the money he's about to get paid? Probably not, but that's the cost of doing business in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think Charles brings up fair points on him, and especially if you're willing to just flush that first year, and that he was hurt last year. All that said,
okay, but even the second year,
I didn't think, oh my God, he's about to take over this league. Right?
And look, I get it. He was obviously banged up last year, but to me, like, if you're healthy enough to play, then you're healthy enough to play.
Sure.
Like, people play hurt all the time.
Yeah, that absolutely.
So you have to judge that part of it. Like, he was out there and playing, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, but it was going quite well early. So how much of that was that? You know, that's what you have to try to figure out if you're the Jags. But, yeah, he's definitely going to get paid. I think they all are. I think Tua would be the most question. But, again, so then you can be like we were just talking during the break. You can be like the Steelers. And so you go get damaged goods Russell Wilson and damaged goods Justin Fields and see what happens. And maybe it'll work out.
But think about that if you're the Titans. Let's say Will Levis is really good 2 years from now. How much money is he going to make? All right?
Yeah,
it's going to be astronomical, the amount of money he's going to make.
Yep. So if he is, right now would be a great time to have a whole bunch of good players around
him. It would.
Because there's a cap.
We'll have more on this coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Vanderbilt has advanced in the SEC tournament and will take on Mississippi State tonight. Hear all the action on 105-106.3 The Game. Pre-game beginning at 7:30, first pitch at 7:45. Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 105-106.3 The Game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June the 16th. Also tune in for the Indy 500 on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. and is brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Looking forward to the Indy 500 coming up this weekend. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. I think you bring up a really important point, and we've talked about like the development of Levis. If he's really good this year and he takes a big step forward, like trying to load up the roster as much as you possibly can next season and to make a run, I think is going to be imperative for the Titans. Because after that, it's not like you can't put together a good team after that with the cap going up. But he's going to make a lot of money. Like he's getting paid basically nothing right now as it relates to other quarterbacks in the league. And if he's really good and you're paying him $50, $51, $53 million per year, whatever the number is in a couple of years – I mean, it would be nice to take advantage of that. That's what you're seeing Houston do, right? Like, Houston saw Stroud, and they're like, all right, let's load up. And while he's on his rookie deal, let's try to get as good of a team around him as humanly possible and make a run for a Super Bowl.
Speaking of which, someone, I think, in the 6 o'clock hour mentioned this, and you investigated. We did a little investigation. I have no idea if there's any relation to anything, but when you talk about loading up, I could also say maybe Hopkins should get a little extension and maybe make sure that you have him locked up for 25. And if I was him, I'd be like, how about 25, 26? Yeah. And he's taken all signs of Titans involvement away from his Insta. Is this correct?
There is no evidence of him in a Titans jersey on his Insta. Now, granted.
That's
what I'm trying to – like, I did not monitor – DeAndre Hopkins Instagram account. So I couldn't tell you like how much Titan stuff he had on there to begin with. But we did have somebody text in earlier and say, oh, guys, Hopkins, he's deleted all the Titan stuff off the Instagram. And I went and looked, and there is no evidence that he plays for the Tennessee Titans on his Instagram.
Is it possible if he has done that, maybe that does say something about an extension he'd like that they right now aren't willing? I'll speculate wildly. Or maybe he's sick of Paul Kaharsky asking questions, and if he acts like he's not on the Titans anymore, Kaharsky will leave him alone. There's a lot of possibilities with
this. There's a lot of ways it could go. I love how, even if this is like not what Hopkins is doing, we've seen guys in the NFL do this. I am disassociating myself. Like Kyler Murray did it in his contract negotiation.
Right.
AJ did it with the Titans. Like,
I mean, I think this is an agent suggested
delete
strategy.
It all.
Yeah. Like, let them see what life is like when you're not in their uniform.
Yeah.
I guess. Right?
To which, if I'm in the front office, I'm like, okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And you start freaking out. Everybody's running around the office. Ah! It's like pure
panic. He deleted the photos off the Instagram. What do we do?
Yeah.
Ugh. What a time we live in.
What a time. But we're going to need more investigation on this. I know someone here who I think is going to put on that detective hat and get cracking today.
I bet it could happen.
Let's get it done.
Hope everybody has a great weekend. I am gone tomorrow. Paul Kuharsky will be in for me.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? There's a nice bleep burger for me to chew on at the end of the show.
Hope everybody enjoys it tomorrow. I'll see you next week. Enjoy the show tomorrow. We'll be back. Chase and Big Joe up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.